Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's that time, San Diego.
Oh, what time is it? Time to kick it.
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
He was like out of fashion with his jeans at the time. Like he was wearing these big carpenter jeans with like the ones you could hang like the hammer
loops. Yeah, okay, all right.
We used to clown him every day.
And Chris Ello.
I think most wives, even though their feelings Absolutely. Are hurt, really ought to just try their best to stay out of this kind of stuff. It's
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
He was pitching. It was kind of right after that inning, the forearm area began to tighten up. And so, obviously, you know, that was it for him. Went in and got checked out. He's going to be day-to-day right now. All I can say is, you know, through everything he's gone through, you know, with all the work, been built up 75, 80 pitches and built up. We haven't had any type of setback or anything like that. This was kind of the first time. And I would imagine, you know, it's tough to recreate, you know, the major leagues and being out there and, you know, the adrenaline and things going like that. But, you know, we'll get more information as we get going over the next couple of days. But right now it's forearm tightness and we'll wait for more information.
3-2 again. The pitch from Hader swung on and missed. Strike three went up out of the zone to chase the fastball. And that is the ball game. Padres with big opportunities in the eighth and the ninth, but they cannot score, and the Brewers sweep the series.
Yes, I think it's only apropos that it is dark and cloudy as we head into nighttime in San Diego. Welcome, everybody, to Gwen and Chris. I'm Chris Ello, along with Matt Scraby on our Audacity Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be back with us tomorrow, still recovering from the knee procedure a little earlier in this week. But Scraby, the weather, I think, fits the mood of San Diego Padre fans right now after they go down 4-2 today to the Milwaukee Brewers. Denelson Lamet injured again, has to leave the game after the second inning. You heard the comments there of Jace Tingler, forearm tightness. Jace Tingler did go on to say that Denelson Lamet will get an MRI. I hate to make the comparison between Denelson Lamet and Adrian Mordejon, but when Mordejon exited about 10 days ago from a ball game early on, he had forearm tightness, and we know that led to a Tommy John surgery. I would think if that happens again to Denelson Lamet, you might even be talking about a career-ending type thing with Denelson Lamet. He's already gone through it. He's already 20.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, he's 28 years of age. I mean, I don't know that he battles back after sitting out another year and a half, if he has another Tommy John surgery. But let's hope for the best on that. Certainly, we're getting the worst right now from the Padre Ball Club as the offense continues to struggle to get runs home. I think the bottom of the eighth inning this afternoon kind of summed up everything that's happened to the Padres on this homestand. Bases loaded, nobody out, a 3-0 count on Tommy Pham. All you needed was one more pitch out of the strike zone to force in a run, and Tommy Pham strikes out looking on a 3-2 pitch. Then Eric Will Myers came up. He strikes out, swinging right through a fastball. And then check swing strikeout for Victor Caratini. Padres end up leaving 11 more runners on base today. It is absolutely remarkable right now with how they continue to get runners aboard and continue to leave them there. The Padres have 161 runners left on base. That was not just today. It only seemed that way. Scraby, that the Padres left that many. That's for the season, 161 left on base. That's 21 more than any other team in Major League Baseball. The Padres are 10-10, and in their 10 losses this year, they are hitting 11-for-88 with runners in scoring position. That is a 125 batting average. And with the bases loaded this year, Slam Diego has been Sham Diego. They haven't done anything with the bases loaded. Just two hits in 21 at-bats with the bases loaded. I don't have any more bad news than that, at least.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that was only about 5 minutes worth there to open up the show, Scrabe.
I mean,
I'd love to give everybody a breath of fresh air and a hang with them thing, but... this is not what we expected from this Padre ball club. 10-10 record. I could almost see you opening a season going 10-10. I mean, during, you know, during a long 162 game season, you have stretches where you play 500 ball for a while. But the way they are not winning games right now is beyond frustrating. The pitching has been good enough. They struck out 17 Milwaukee Brewers today, yet the Padre offense struck out 13 times itself. And just continuing to get runners on and leave them there. And bases loaded, nobody out in the eighth inning, come up empty. Second and third in the ninth inning, Eric Hosmer, who's been really one of your very few clutch hitters this year, couldn't come through against the great Milwaukee closer, Josh Hader, swung underneath a high fastball.
But he swung.
At least he that was
that's
the first,
exactly what I said.
That was the very first thing you said. At least he swung. It was out of the strike zone, but better than. And you know what? Look, I've stuck up for Tommy Pham as much as I can do it, and I'm going to continue to believe in Tommy Pham. But I can't stick up for taking a 3-2 fastball right down the middle with no outs and the bases loaded. I have no defense for that. You got to be swinging the bat there. You've got to be geared for the fastball. You know they're not going to throw you something off speed there. They don't want to walk in a run. You got to be ready for it. How can you be surprised by a fastball right down the middle with a 3-2 count and the bases loaded and no outs? I mean, it looked like Tommy Pham wasn't ready to swing. I mean, honestly, looked like he was either – it's almost like he made up his mind before the pitch that, you know what, I'm either going to walk or I'm going to strike out looking. I mean, that's something that a little league kid does. I mean, come on. Get the bat off your shoulder. Put it in play. Make something happen. Even if he grounds into a double play right there, a run scores.
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
I'm not trying to – you know, I mean, I am. I'm being very critical of Tommy right now, and I think I have the right to be because nobody has supported him as much as I have. But that at-bat really kind of irked me. And it just – to me, it's just been kind of a summation of this entire Padre ball club on this homestand. They go 1-5 on the homestand, and they are now just 5-8 at Petco Park. And I got to tell you something, championship teams don't go 5-8
at their home
on their home ballpark. They just don't. And, you know, I mean, I know that last year they were 11-12, and a lot of people are trying to make that comparison, say, well, this year they're 10-10. So, you know, it's just kind of like last year, and then they just kicked it into gear. Hey, look, just because you kicked it into gear last season doesn't mean you're going to kick it into gear this season. You've still got to go out and do it. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, this Padre ball club on paper, probably one of the best teams they've ever had. I really still believe that. But until they get rolling, it's definitely a frustrating time to be a Padre fan. We are going to open up the phone lines here for the 1 hour that we do have to spend together. And I will give you the number 833-288-0973. That's 833-288-0973. 0973. The Nelson Lamet injury, I saw a variety of different tweets on this and reactions to it, ranging from, hey, you know, it's hopefully it's just a little bit of a strain and the adrenaline that Jace Tingler talked about, all the way down to, are we the unluckiest fan base in the history of sports? I mean, that's where some people are going with this injury because...
Oh, I can't tell. I can't blame him for feeling that way.
I can't either, Scraby. You know me. I've been talking people off the ledge all week.
You have.
But I'm out of words. I mean, after a game like that, I have to get up on the ledge with everybody else a little bit.
Yeah. I should have done this before the show, but we need to do this real quick before we go any further. Let me tell you something, Chris.
Yes.
When I saw this go down with Denelson Lamet, obviously I feel bad for him and everything, but it was... I don't know why I felt this way, but it was an overwhelming feeling of frustration, annoyance, and anger all at the same time. And it was mostly because I feel like we've been... I know we don't know the full extent of the injury, so I'm going to try to stay away from that. But we've been checking in on Denelson Lamet for like 8 months. Or
longer.
Longer. And everything always is pointing towards it going well. And then he goes out there after 29 pitches, strikes out... The three batters in the first inning looks great. I tweeted, welcome back, and then I jinxed him, and then he came. He left after the second inning. And it was really frustrating and annoying to me that happened. I don't know what is to blame for it other than maybe he's – I don't know. I don't know what to blame is
you just,
to blame
you just
it.
Hope it's bad luck right now, and it's
exactly.
All piling up on the Padres. Everywhere you look, there's bad news surrounding this Padre ball club. I mean, offensively, there's problems. Defensively, there's major problems with this ball club defensively. They committed an error last night that led to 4 runs and a 6-0 loss to the Brewers. And, you know, offensively, I mean, we've dictated to you all of their troubles and run them all down with the batting average with runners in scoring position and the bases loaded and you know, the runners in scoring position and the 22 ground ball double plays they've hit into. I mean, it's just one thing after another. So, I mean, it's just kind of a overall thing. Now, the only thing that's been somewhat, you know, pleasing to the eye has been the pitching. And, you know, prior to this this series, you could say the back end of the bullpen has been practically untouchable. But even Keone Kella got dinged up today for 3 runs in the 6th inning. Omar Narvaez hits a 2-run home run off him. Jace Peterson hits a home run off him. And that turns the game around, gives Milwaukee a 4-2 lead. So Kella has proved to be fallible now. Drew Pomeranz had a very shaky 8th inning today, loaded the bases before he escaped that. You know, there's really not a lot of good news. You look to a guy like Yu Darvish, who's going to start here this weekend against the Dodgers, a guy like Blake Snell to go out there and give you a shutdown performance. But honestly, you can't expect a shutdown performance for more than 7 innings anyway. You're going to have to get your bullpen to close it out. The Padres are just absolutely scared to death to let a pitcher go any further than 7 innings. And, you know, I think that's something that is eventually going to catch up to them. I mean, you can't rely on your bullpen as much as they're relying on it right now and expect the bullpen to get the job done. Joe Musgrove gives you 7 innings in the first game of this series. That's fantastic. But after that, it's pretty much all bullpen all the time. Thankfully, a guy like Nick Ramirez came in and pitched in a couple of ball games before he got sent back down by the Padres today to make room for who else? Denelson. But it's not ideal to go into the Dodgers series off a day in which your bullpen had to throw 7 innings. It just isn't. And so, you know, I'm looking for somewhere to find a positive with the Padres. I know people are upset with Jace Tingler right now. I know people think that the team isn't playing with a lot of fire right now. Let me explain that part to you. You never look like you're playing with a lot of fire when you're not scoring. When you're not hitting and when you're getting shut down by good pitching, it doesn't look like you're playing with a lot of fire. Why? You don't have a lot of guys running around the bases. You don't have a lot of balls being hit up against the fence. You just don't have a lot of fun. You don't have a lot of high fives. You don't have a lot of exchanges. You have a lot of guys flying out and walking back to the dugout or striking out and walking back to the dugout. It looks like they're not putting a lot of energy in. That couldn't be further from the truth. I don't buy into any of that stuff. But right now, when you're going through this slump that the Padres are going through, it's not fun. And the Milwaukee Brewers hit 7 home runs in this series. The Padres, goose egg. A flat-out goose egg in the home run department for the Padres. They're stuck on 17 home runs. The Padres last night did not have an extra base hit. The night before that, they did not have an extra base hit. In the loss to the Dodgers on Saturday night when they lost 2-0 and this diving catch by Mookie Betts, they didn't have an extra base hit in that game. I mean, imagine going through a stretch with the ball club that they have. Three of the last five games, the Padres haven't had a single extra base hit. That's bad. That's just bad. That's not frustrating. That's not that's embarrassing. They did have three doubles today. It's nothing to write home tremendously about, but it's something. At least they got a couple of extra base hits today. So I go back to a little bit what we talked about too, also Scraby, taking pitches and getting behind in the count and, you know, getting their walks and leading the league in walks and all of that. And it's all well and good and building up pitch counts, but it's not all well and good unless you can drive some runs in. And so you're getting runners on, can't get them in. Jace Tingler remains a little bit upbeat about that. We'll hear more from him later in the show, but we're going to get to some phone calls when we come back. Program is underway. We've only got an hour to go, so if you have something to say, don't wait around to say it. Get on the phone lines here, 833-288-0973. I'm Chris Sello with Scraby for Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris. An hour to talk to you fans after a 4-2 Milwaukee victory over the Padres wraps up the sweep for the Brew Crew on San Diego's number one sports talk station. This is 97.3 The Fan. Let's check a little traffic.
For California.
All right, doom and gloom. That is the weather report, and that is also the feeling for Padre fans following a 4-2 loss today to the Milwaukee Brewers. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. This hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Smart Investing. I'm Chris Ello, along with Matt Scraby and our Odyssey Palace Studios here in San Diego, California. Tony Gwynn Jr. due back tomorrow after undergoing the knee procedure earlier this week.
This is his fault, by the way.
Why is it his fault?
I just realized this.
You know, they were only 10-7 with him broadcasting, so it wasn't like they were running up the score on teams.
They weren't, but they haven't. They didn't get swept this year.
They haven't won a game without him. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's his fault that they've left 161 runners on base, 11 today, 1-for-12 again, hitting with runners in scoring position. That is obnoxiously bad, and no home runs, and just nobody coming through. Bases loaded, nobody out. Bottom of the eighth inning, Tommy Pham takes strike three right down the middle. That one irks me as much as anything else. And like you said, at least Eric Hosmer swung the bat in the ninth inning with second and third.
Same with Will Myers.
And Will Myers struck out on a fastball, and he put a good swing on that. He just somehow came up empty. That's part of it. Victor Caratini got fooled by a curveball and went down on a check swing. But for Pham to go down looking in that situation, sorry, I can't deal with that too well. Right now, by the way, if you're wondering, Fernando Tatis Jr. has taken the lead over Tommy Pham in the batting race for the Padres.
It was the last hit.
Yes, Fernando Tatis Jr. now 154 ahead of Tommy Pham's 153.
Okay.
No, it's not okay.
It's positive.
It's not okay.
It's climbing in the right direction.
It's not okay.
It's back-to-back games Fernando's had a hit.
And back-to-back games that Tommy Pham has had a hit. But I don't think too many people are feeling
doing?
All that well about
him. They're competing
him.
Against each other now.
Yes, well, let's compete with each other when your average is over 300. 6:22 is the time. We're here till 7 o'clock. I know people are standing by in line, 833-288-0973. I'm going to turn the program over to you listeners right now and callers. Led off by Vince in Chula Vista with the Gwynn and Chris program on 97.3 The Fan. Hi, Vince.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me here. So this is what we've become. We struck out with the bases loaded, but at least we swung. So I'm a season ticket holder, and when a two-run deficit feels like a 4 or a 5 or a 6-run deficit,
yeah,
that's what it feels like when you're watching this. Now, this team runs through Fernando Tatis Jr., for as long as he is in this funk and they don't have a clue at the plate, which I'm sorry, guys, bases loaded, no outs, Hosmer gets up. You've got to and I don't want to put it on Eric Hosmer. Heck, I've got his jersey, right? So I don't want to do that. But it runs through Tatis. The pitching has been good enough to win, but when a two-run lead for the other team feels like a 6-run lead, there's no way to get by it. Now, the only way to do it is to swing. And unless they begin to do that, they're going to hold like this. And the bad thing is we're in the same division as the best team in the world. And they're not going to hang around for too long before they put us in their rearview mirror and they're gone.
Well,
so hopefully they go up to L.A., turn it around a little bit, still go Padres, but they've got to break out. And again, guys, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Vince.
My good phone call, Vince.
To Tony. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, good phone call right there.
I love what Vince said to begin the call before we get into his call is what he said. Now this is who we are. We're excited when they're swinging at pitches.
Right, that's a good thing. Yeah, we're like excited about something like that.
It's a great observation, Vince.
Yeah, things have gone south in a hurry. He's right. I mean, when you're in a slump like this, a two-run deficit seems like a million, and that when it starts getting put on the back of your pitching staff, and when Denelson Lamet can only throw 29 pitches today and leaves after two innings with tightness in his forearm and all that goes along with that potentially. Your bullpen has to throw seven more innings again tonight. And Craig Stammen, my goodness, this guy, I mean, he's been on call, it seems like, practically every game for an inning or two.
It's
true. You know, I mean, I know people are, well, he gave up a run today. Look, Stammen has got to be pitching on fumes out there. He's the only guy that's getting the job done on a consistent basis. Kela got beat up today with the two home runs. But the pitching, as Vince said, has certainly been plenty good enough. But right now, it's not good enough. I mean, you've almost got to pitch shutout baseball to have a chance. And they only scored three runs in the entire Milwaukee series, three. And the Brewers hit seven home runs in those three games. So you put those two statistics together, and it's unlikely that you're going to win a game. I think the thing that was also frustrating for the Padres in this series was how they just did nothing against the Milwaukee bullpen. Josh Hader is spectacular.
We know that.
Yeah. But prior to that, Suter, Boxberger, Feiereisen, these guys have been getting lit up pretty much all year long for Milwaukee. They came in with one of the lowest-rated bullpens in baseball. They got well over the last three games because the Padres continually failed to produce. Let's move along to Kevin and Chula Vista. Back-to-back Chula Vista to open up the program.
Chula Vista, hearing from you.
All right, yeah. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, the South Bay is representing, guys.
Very good.
We're the heart of damn San Diego. Don't forget it.
I got you, man. Right, I got listen. You. I was down that way myself today.
All right. This is not rocket science, Chris. You've played ball. We've all played ball. Quintero and I have been talking about this for a while. This problem with the Padres started with their approach to spring training. They half-assed their way. Can I say that in the radio? They half-assed their way through spring training. There were errors galore. They had the same offensive problems, not as quite as magnified because everybody said, oh, well, it's just spring training. This manager has screwed this thing up. He has not gotten their attention. When you have Tommy Pham, as you pointed out, with no clue as what he's doing at the plate, that's not physical problems. That's mental approach, fundamentals, strategy. What in the hell does this team stand for? And this manager stands up after each game, and not one time has he ever said, we've got to get our approach and our fundamentals back in gear, both offensively and defensively. After this game, you send the pitchers home with a bow on them. You keep everybody else out for 2 hours. You run their drills. For God's sakes, these are professional athletes making 300 and God knows how much million dollars. If they can't do any better than this, and you know what? Our standard is we're going to sit your fanny down until you get it straightened out. I don't care if you're Fernando. I don't care if you're Manny. If you can't get above the Mendoza line, you're killing this team. And right now, Fernando's killing this team. He really is.
Hang on just a second.
And it has to be said.
Okay.
It has to be said.
Okay, you said it. First of all, they did sit Fernando and Manny down last night. What'd that get them? Shut out. So, you know, I don't know what you really want them to do. Fernando Tatis Jr. is going through a tough time right now. There is no argument to that. He's not killing the team. He's not helping the cause right now, but nobody's helping the cause. I mean, they just lost 5 out of 6 ball games in which they hardly scored any runs the entire homestand. So it's up and down the lineup right now. It's every single guy that's got to look within and see what they can do a little bit better to get things turned. All it's going to take is one guy to stick a ball into the gap with the bases loaded and get 3 runs in and get this thing rolling again. And, you know, as far as Jace Tingler is concerned, Same manager that had a really, really successful first season. I don't think he's forgotten what he's doing. I don't think he's preparing any less this year than he did a year ago. I will say this. I think the Padres are playing like they look like they're under a lot of pressure right now. And I'd like to see them be able to smile a little bit and kind of relax a little bit. I know it's difficult when you're losing to do, but I think sometimes you just have to step back and, you know what, go up to the plate and relax and swing the bat and let the ball fall where they may, as it were. You know, stop worrying about trying to do too much. Stop trying to worry about working up the pitch count and drawing walks and seeing if you can't get a long at bat. I mean, Jay Cronenworth is another example today. Leading off the ninth inning against Josh Hader. I'm not picking on Jake Cronenworth here. Just an example here. He had about an 8-pitch at bat against Josh Hader. Lefty on lefty, fouled off 3 or 4 tough pitches, took some close pitches, got the count to 2-2, but ultimately flied out. That's not, to me, a good at bat is a successful at bat. And the Padres' attitude in a lot of times is that a good at bat is a lengthy at bat. No, a good at-bat is a successful at-bat. Do you get on base? Do you move the runner over? Do you drive in the run? Do you produce? I think the Padres got to get away from some of the little things and just relax and play ball and hit the ball. See it, hit it. First pitch, fastball, be swinging. When they had those at-bats with the bases loaded, Tommy Pham's at-bat was awful. I mean, we've already talked about it. 3-0, you got to take one pitch, fine. Second pitch, 3-1, you got to be swinging. I mean, don't be sitting there waiting for a walk. 3-2 to be taking right down the middle on a fastball. That was like the ultimate for Tommy Pham. I mean, that I hope that's the lowest point of the season for him.
I was just about to say that because both of you and I have defended him this year.
Yes, and I'm going to continue to defend him because I really believe he's an excellent ball player, but he's not playing like that right now. Next man up, Will Myers, take strike one. Okay, but, you know, swing the bat. Take a shot. Fastball right down the pipe. Be swinging. Let's go. Let's get the runs in. Let's hit one up against the fence. This whole notion that you got to take your walk and pass the baton on to the next guy, that's the Padre way. And it's not working right now. And as I said yesterday, Scraby, you cannot walk your way out of a slump. The only way to get out of a slump, and this is a team-wide slump. This isn't on Fernando. This isn't on Pham. This isn't on Hosmer. This isn't on Machado, who didn't have a hit in the entire series, by the way. All right? This is on the whole team. The only way to get yourself out of slump, hit your way out of a slump, you got to swing the bat to hit your way out of that slump. Let's go to John and Temecula on Gwynn and Chris. Hi, John.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Pham. I've been watching him all year, and you know, didn't we get Pham and Cronenworth for the Rays?
Pagan and Cronenworth. Okay, I forget exactly what the trades were. They made two trades, I think, with Tampa Bay. There, Margot ended up going over there, etc.
And Pham was the top guy, and Cronenworth was a throw-in.
Right.
Look what happened.
Yeah,
I think they should give this kid C.J. Abrams a chance. He was great in spring training. I watched him against good pitching. And he's got speed. He's like Mateo, and that's what we need. We need a little bit more like St. Louis Cardinals baseball. I mean, this stuff is ridiculous.
Well, Tommy Pham used to play St. Louis Cardinals baseball, and he played it pretty well.
And I just checked. He came in the Hunter Renfro.
Hunter Renfro
and
trade.
It was Tommy Pham and Jake Cronenworth for Hunter Renfro and Xavier Edwards.
Thank you. You know what, CJ? Hang on a second, Kevin. Hang on, CJ Abrams. I'm going to tell you another guy that looked good in spring training. And I'm not saying that C.J. Abrams couldn't come up and save the season, but I don't think they feel he's ready to do that. And another guy that looked really good in the spring training against good pitching was Luis Camposano, and he looks completely lost now at the big league level. Another guy who looked really good in spring training against major league pitching was Tuca Pietermarcano, and he's back at the alternate site. Another guy was Jorge Mateo, hit the cover off the ball in spring training. He's hitting .227. What we saw in spring training is spring training. What we're seeing now is big league pitching against big league hitters and a struggling ball club. Tommy Pham, for everything that he's doing poorly right now, here I go sticking up for him again, is a proven major league baseball commodity. You've got to stick with that. You can't give up on the team that you have put together. This is the ball club that's going to have to get it done. Tatis is hitting .154. You got to bench him for C.J. Abrams? Like I told the last caller, you just benched Tatis and Machado last night. Great. You got shut out. I mean, it doesn't – everybody thinks that you've got all the answers. Just sit these guys out and they'll get it – you know, the team will just magically start to win. No, the guys that are on this team have to start getting the job done, and that's the only way out of this thing. Scraby, I'm going to get to more phone calls in a second, but don't we have to take a break? We're at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, we'll take one more, and then we'll go to the break.
Manny, welcome to the program. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Hey, Manny. Hello.
Manny.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Yeah, here I am.
What's up, buddy?
Okay, hey. Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, listen. What happens when nobody's hitting and you can score one run per inning? What do? You bunt the ball.
Bunt the ball, says Manny.
Oh, we're going to play small
ball. You can score at least one run an inning, and you got 9 runs. And that's it.
Wait, are we saying that every at bat, Manny, we want to bunt the ball?
The only problem with that strategy, Manny, is if we get the runners into scoring position with a bunt, we can't get them in.
Come in, and everybody can score. At least you could tie the score up.
Well, I look, in theory, it's a great idea to bunt and get runners in scoring position, but we already told you the Padres are the worst team in baseball hitting with runners in scoring position. They are 8 for 88 with runners in scoring position, in their 10 losses. So they're hitting 125. It's not going to get the job done. So, all right, thank you, Manny. Manny says bunt, and that will get it all turned around. And look, there are times when I'd love to see a bunt. Don't get me wrong. We've talked about it before, but the Padres are getting plenty of runners into scoring position. And that's where they're staying.
Yeah, and let me say this before I forget it, because I think it's a semi-good point. When you're thinking about Tommy Pham being on the Padres, would you rather have Tommy Pham or would you rather have Hunter Renfro? Because that's basically what you're doing. I mean, you got Jake Cronenworth in the deal as well.
Pretty sure everybody'd rather have Hunter Renfro right now. I'm going to tell you this.
That's pretty in the moment thought.
Pretty sure everybody out there would rather have the actor Brad Renfro now.
I have no idea who he is.
I don't even know who that is either, but I'm just saying.
No, they wouldn't, because you know what? You don't get Jake Cronenworth in that. And you don't.
No,
and Tommy Pham will turn around.
I'm going to be able to say I told you so about Tommy Pham, but I may not be able to say it till about July.
Hold on to that.
The way he's slumping right now, the way he's taking a third strike with the bases loaded, that chafed me today for sure. All right, we'll take a break. If you're online, we'll get to everybody before the end of the show, so stick around. There are a couple lines open, 833-288-0973. Chris Ello, the doctor is in. We're trying to help you through this slide. Doom and gloom in San Diego, both in the weather forecast and the baseball forecast on 97.3 The Fan. Padres get swept by the Milwaukee Brewers. Nobody feels too good about that, including Manny Machado. We will hear what he had to say after the Padres 4-2 setback today. But first, let's check traffic here with Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
How do you think you feel if you lost and you just got swept and you've only won one game out of the last six? I don't got to answer that question for you.
There's Manny Machado not feeling too good about losing this series.
Fiery, I love it.
Well, you know, it does answer the question to people out there. I think these guys don't care and that, you know, they're just going through the motions. It's ludicrous to think that. It looks that way because they're getting shut down and they're not able to come through with these big hits with runners in scoring position. That's how you lose ball games. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby in our Odyssey Palace studios on a gloom and doom Wednesday evening here in San Diego. On Gwynn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr. Due back with us tomorrow. We will have pretty much a regular show tomorrow, Scraby, from 3 to 6 ahead of Padre baseball. Padres,
yeah, the rest of the week.
Yeah, they got 4 games coming up against the Dodgers, so that's another thing to be thinking about. And obviously, the Dodgers now are 5 games ahead of the Padres in the standings. They did not play today. You know, it's interesting. You know, Padres right now, you'd almost see like don't want to get swept. Just take one win. But you can't go in there with that attitude. You got to go in there with the attitude that you're going to win the series. I mean, the Padres got to get feeling good about themselves. And I think the only way they can do it, honestly, is to swing their way out of it Stop with the walks. Stop with the taking pitches. Stop with the getting behind in the count. You're going to be facing ace pitching once again, right? Walker Buehler tomorrow night, Clayton Kershaw Friday night, Trevor Bauer Saturday night, Dustin May on Sunday. These guys aren't going to walk you, right? I mean, so forget about it. And what are you going to be in such a big hurry to get to the Dodger bullpen for anyway? I know that it's supposed to be a weak link, but I don't want to face Blake Treinen. I don't want to face Victor Gonzalez. I don't want to face Corey Knebel. I don't want to face Kenley Jansen. Jansen's throwing lights out, by the way, so far this year. I know he's blown a save, but so what? I mean, if you just watch the way his ball is moving and his velocity is up, I'm not in a big hurry to get to the Dodger bullpen. So go up there and swing the bat. And if you come up in an inning and you only get four pitches and you line out hard to center field three times, so be it. At least you took your chance and you feel good about yourself. You put a good swing on the ball and put it in play hard somewhere. That's the attitude that I want the Padres to have. I'm honestly getting a little tired of this. Let's work the count and get as many pitches as we can. And you know what? Even though you grounded out to second base, it's okay because you saw nine pitches. It's not okay. It's not okay. A first pitch double is a whole lot better than a nine pitch ground out to second base. I mean, is there any argument there?
Well, there could be some, but we don't have time for it.
You're going to argue that? Well, we got the pitcher's pitch count up and got him closer to being out of the game.
Come it hasn't
on,
worked
now.
Out yet.
It hasn't worked
in
at all.
In theory, on paper, it's a good strategy, but it hasn't translated to wins this
it
year.
It works against lousy pitching. That's the bottom line. I've told you this. When
they're
the
not going to face aces all year.
That's right. So when you're facing the Pirates and the Rockies and the back end of the Diamondbacks and the Giants and some of these other teams, then fine. Go back to your strategy of waiting around for walks. But as long as you're facing ace pitchers, you better swing the bat if you plan to get a good pitch to hit. Simple. By the way, I'm staring at the box score today. Did you see Avisail Garcia, the Milwaukee Brewers, what he did today?
0-4, four strikeouts.
How about 0-5 with five strikeouts?
Ooh, that's even worse than anything the Padres did today.
Padres had a trade for that guy right away.
Okay.
Let's bring him in.
Okay.
All right. I wonder if his strikeouts were all swinging. I don't know that he was looking at the ball with the bases loaded like
if
Tommy
they
Pham
were
was.
All swinging, then he's in. I'm
then he's in.
Him.
You'll take him just because he was swinging the bat.
Yep.
Brewers batter struck out 17 times today. And, of course, Joe Musgrove struck out 13 of them in the first game of the series. So, I mean, the Padre pitching was, blowing these guys away, and yet the Brewers still come out of there with a sweep. Mind-boggling. All right, let's go to a couple of voices of reason out there. We'll start with our friend Kathy on Gwen and Chris. Hi, Kathy. I know you're not feeling great, but you always kind of cheer us up, so I'm going to put it on you to come up with something upbeat.
Well, I don't get how people think that sitting Tatis or Machado or even Sam, I mean, yeah, Sam's having his issues now, but sitting these guys isn't the answer. Because how are they going to get in and learn how to hit against some of these pitchers if their butt's sitting on the bench?
It's not the answer. No, you're totally right.
No.
You're totally right, Kathy. It's not like the Padres. The Padres don't have, honestly, a great bench right now. I mean, we looked it up the other day. They've only got three pinch hits all season. I mean, you know, with Mateo on the bench and Campusano on the bench right now. I mean, they don't really. Kim on the bench. Kim is still trying to find his way. This isn't a great bench. I mean, you've got to go with the people you have, and you have to, you know, hope that these guys get the job done. It's as simple as that. They got to just start getting it done.
Exactly. I mean, I know I always go back to the Royals because I was around back in Kansas City during the 14-15 run.
Yeah.
I remember in 14, people were calling for the firing of Ned Yost.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That was in 14. And he took him to a World Series. And then he took him to a World Series the next year and won it.
Yeah.
So people just – I know it's tough, and I know it's easy for me to say because I've been watching the guys for so many – you know, the Padres for so many years, and I've seen a lot of really bad baseball, a lot. Guys whose names I don't even remember because I never bothered to learn it because, you know,
they weren't going to be around for long because most of the time they were just kind of rentals that we were hoping were going to help the team out, but didn't. And yeah, it's really rough to watch these games, but being up here in LA, I'm not getting the crap I was getting from Dodger fans right now after that weekend series.
Have you gone outside this week?
Yeah. Well, okay. Most of them are not paying attention because in fact, one of the guys that we were talking about, and he's like, "Well, your guys' pitching's really good." I'm like, "Yeah, our hitting's not too great right now." And he's just like, "Yeah, but your guys' pitching. Oh my God, I didn't think that you guys were gonna." Yeah. Hang with the Dodgers.
As long as the pitching does the job and keeps you in ball games, you're going to start winning some of these ball games. And you gotta look. I'm speaking like Jace Tingler right now, but you got to believe in what you've got. I mean, you put together AJ Preller, this organization, the ownership, the manager, everybody. They put together what people think is the best Padre team, perhaps in club history. Now, you still got to go out and do it. You got to go out and prove it. You got to go out and show that you can get the job done. But I really believe in this team. I don't like what I'm seeing right now. I can't stand it. It's frustrating. It's bordering on a disaster through 20 games, but it's not really because they're 10-10. They're not 0-20.
But, still got 142 games left.
Still got 142 games left. All you got to do is win 90 of those, and you got a 100-win season.
I can't. I hope in August and September we're all laughing about how panicked we were when the season began.
We will be.
Yeah,
we were last year. Last year they were 11-12.
True.
I'll tell you one thing: Jace Tingler had one foot out the door.
He did,
at least.
You know what I've seen a lot.
And then
all
of a sudden they went to Texas and hit a couple of grand slams.
And turned everything around.
You know, but last year was Slam Diego. This year it's been, no luck with the bases loaded. 2-for-21 with the bases loaded this year.
I've seen a lot on Twitter.
No grand slams, by the way.
Yeah. Today, that people are saying, pay attention to what happened to the Washington Nationals a few years ago. They started awful. And they ended up okay. They ended up winning the World Series.
They were a lot worse than 10-10.
A lot worse. They were like 17-29.
Yeah. It's all fun to talk about, but ultimately the bottom line is you got to start playing better baseball. I mean, you do. You've got to start coming up with some clutch hits. You've got to start playing defense. You can't give teams extra outs. And, those are the two areas where this team has got to do a lot better. I think they will. Katie, thanks for joining the program. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. How are you?
I could be better after watching that series.
Yeah, I could too, Katie. I got to agree with you there.
I plan to say a couple of different things, but I'm going to tell you guys this. So I literally grew up watching the Padres. My family's held seats since 1975.
Wow.
And it's such a familiar feeling right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like bases loaded, no outs. I mean, guys, how many ways are there to score from third base with less than two outs?
Even a double play ground ball gets you one run.
Or a bunt, like Manny said.
That's a fielder's choice. That's one of the seven ways. I mean, let's find a way, you guys. So, it was a tough, tough series to watch. But as a Padres fan for my whole entire life, I will say that I do feel like, the pitching's there. The pitching is there. We just, these bats are going to come alive, and I believe it. It's a long season, and we just got to let these guys grind out some bats, man.
Agreed, Katie. I think you're absolutely right, and you got to stick with them. I mean, baseball, we've said it a million times, but baseball is a game of mostly failure. And it's how you deal with that failure that ultimately leads to how successful you are. And there's a lot of failure in the game of baseball. And right now the Padres hitters are experiencing a lot of it. But, these are veteran guys. They're proven guys. They've gotten the job done in the past. Tatis Jr. is not going to hit 154 this year. Fam, I know it's hard to believe, is not going to hit 153 this year. Manny's not going to go hitless in a series and scream at a reporter after the game all season long. And he didn't scream, but certainly took out his frustration on a question. It's just not going to keep up like this. And just think, the one thing you can say, if there is a bright way to look at this, is the Padres, for what they have on this ball club, have been lousy this year. But they're 10-10. The Yankees are losing again tonight. They're going to be 6-11.
You want to talk panic.
Yeah, the Braves are only 7-10 right now, and the Braves were in the National League Championship Series. I'm just saying, misery has a little company. The Padres are not alone. There's some really good teams out there that are not winning games right now. The Padres are one of them. But the bottom line is 10-10 is not great, not where we wanted to be. It's not the end of the world. It is doom and gloom. That's fair, because I feel the doom and gloom myself, and I'm looking outside and I see the doom and gloom.
I kind of appreciate the weather, though.
You love that.
Yeah.
All right, Scraby, we're out of here for a Wednesday, but tomorrow we'll have plenty of time to chat with you. Tony Gwynn Jr. is expected to return for our 3 o'clock get-together, so we'll look for all of you then. Until then, have as good a night as you can. Keep the faith, as the old saying goes. And we'll talk to you tomorrow after a full day of sports here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Good night, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.